look at one another, and then raise the arms and hold them. And at that, yes, they just give a slight look at one another, and then just a very, very brief smile at all. What kind of to be right. Only what God says is right. And this is the rule that we must observe in giving answers when asked questions pertaining to spiritual matters. We must always go back to the Word of God. This is the rule. The Word of God is the authority. So if anybody poses any kind of questions pertaining to spiritual matters, we must always go back. They would agree. Yes, and that's the right position to take. Actually, our answers must always be from the Word of God, and we must insist on getting answers from the Word of God. And these are the kinds of answers we must give to people in our counseling. When people ask us questions, we must always direct them back to the Word of God, just like the Lord directed this man to the Word of God. We must direct them to the Word of God. And when we are giving the gospel, when people ask us questions, the best thing to cheerful attitude, learn to laugh at yourself, right? Very often we give this kind of counsel. But friends, at best they are human wisdom, at best they are human advisors. Now I remember this friend of ours some years ago, his wife and he and his wife. Right words to say, they are the words that come out from the Word of God, not those words that mindset early on. Be positive, have a cheerful outlook, learn to laugh at yourself and so forth. I noticed that in the chat that how fellowship groups are engaged in. Sometimes they send messages to one another and they quote this, quote that and so forth. But I dare say that at most they are just good human advisors. That's all. I think the better focus that they should have would be on the Word of God. Of this man towards the one true living God. He has given the right answer. Now look at his action towards the one true living God. Verse 29. He tells us that he asked who his neighbor was. He straight away he focused on his neighbor. Alright? You know why he focused on his neighbor? Because he thought that his relationship with the one true living God was absolutely right. Alright, no question. No need to talk about that. Now, obviously, as I said, he didn't think that there was anything lacking in his relationship with God. He belonged to a class of people who were diligent in observing the laws of God to the very, very letter. Yes, you know what they would do? When they tithe, they even tithe the herbs, the garden herbs. You know, the anise, the cummins, then the mint. They would even tithe this. In other words, if there are 10 leaves of mint, how many leaves would they give? With their tithe. Pluck out one, give one. Alright? That's what it means, my dear friends. They were tithe to that extent. Alright? And the Lord Jesus Christ had to say this to them in Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint, you see, and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Those this ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And that's what they failed in doing. They failed in showing good justice, good judgment, showing good justice. They failed in showing mercy. They failed in showing faith. Now, let me give you some examples of how they failed in their judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ healed somebody on the Sabbath day, they said, you have broken the Sabbath. You shouldn't be doing the work of healing people. But you know, in their mind, you know what they were thinking? In their mind, on the Sabbath day, they were thinking of killing him, plotting to kill him. So to plot to kill somebody was right. To show mercy on people, to people on the Sabbath day was wrong. So what kind of sense, what kind of justice do they have? Or sense of justice do they have? No sense of justice at all. And then, in regards to showing mercy, the Lord showed kill people on the animal were to fall into the ditch, would you not be kind enough or merciful enough to pull your animal out of the ditch? You would. You would show mercy to an animal, but you will not show mercy to a human being. What kind of mercy are you talking about? Alright? And then in regards to faith, they were always looking for signs and wonders rather than to trust. sometimes you might say, it's hard for me to identify who my neighbors are, right? As we said, hard to identify who our neighbors are. But friends, is it hard for us to identify who our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ are? Huh? No problem at all. We should all know who our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ are. Shame on us, believers. Think of the way we talk and think of the way we think about our fellow believers. Sometimes we think so badly of them. We talk so badly of them. Yeah, shame on us. How then can we say that we love God when we do not love our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Word of God says, how can you love God whom you have not seen when you do not love your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ whom you can see? So what kind of love for God are we talking about? So friends, our love for the one true living God is really quite inadequate. Right? We are supposed to love Him, but we do not love Him enough. This man thought that he loved God, but he actually did not. Now the Lord was leading this man to this truth, that there was no way that he could love God the way God wanted him to love. How wrong it was for the Jews to think that they could obtain eternal life by trying hard to obey the laws of God. Yes, how wrong they were. It was simply impossible for them to do that. Now the Lord was actually leading this man to see that it was impossible for him to love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this man actually should have known better in regards to the way of salvation. He should have known better because he was supposed to be an expert in the knowledge of the Word of God, of the laws. He would have known the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, he would have read about his great-great ancestor, the great Abraham. Now, what does the Word of God tell us about how Abraham obtained salvation? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He should have known that, yes, that it was not by the deeds of the law, of the works of the law, or by obeying the traditions that they had invented, that you will be able to get to heaven. The way to get to heaven, the way to inherit eternal life, was to do like what his great-great-great-great ancestor had done. Believe in the one true living God, and it would have been counted to him for righteousness. Now, this lawyer obviously thought that he was not expected to love everybody. Surely he could not be expected to love Gentiles, right? Who is my neighbor? Surely he was not expected to love the Gentiles. Surely he could not be expected to love Gentiles because, as far as they were concerned, Gentiles were uncircumcised Gentile dogs. He was not expected to love publicans and sinners with whom the Lord and Jesus Christ ate with. So he asked this question, verse 29, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to define his neighbor for him. In his mind, he surely must have thought this. Alright, Jesus, you being a Jew, would surely have to say that only Jews can be your neighbor, right? Now, if that was the case, then he said, I can easily justify myself, because in his mind, he thought that he had adequately loved his fellow Jews. So, who is my neighbor? You will see that this man, this lawyer, had asked the wrong question. And I'd like us to see that the Lord actually wanted to correct his wrong question by telling this man this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. All right, let's look at this parable. Luke 10, 30, and I read from verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of the raiment of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So he was robbed, beaten, stripped, left half dead on the ground. And by chance, there came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest was one who was supposed to be very, very compassionate. He was one who was supposed to be able to show mercy. He should be helping him. No, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, also a very religious man, supposed to be able to show compassion and mercy. When he was at the place, came and stood on the roof of him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now let's understand, the Samaritan and the Jews had no feelings at all. The animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans became very, very great enemies. And then the Samaritan saw this, he had compassion on him. And ran to the evangelist, found out the food, pouring his oil, wine, and set him on his own feet. That is on his own donkey, the donkey went in. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, 2 pence was a lot of money. Don't think it was just 2 pennies. 1 penny or 1 pence would be the salary of a worker in those days. So 2 pence would be equivalent to the salary of a worker for 2 days. All right. And then he said, he said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. If extra expenses are incurred, charge them to me. That's what he was saying. Verse 36. Which now of these three, Jesus asked this man, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And this man said, he that showed mercy on him. He quite had to say that. You know what I mean? He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do that likewise. Yes, go and do like what this Samaritan did. Go and be a good neighbor to other people. Your question, who is my neighbor, is a wrong question. Because that question shows that only people in your mind whom you think fit to be your neighbor, will be your neighbors. Yes, Gentiles, they cannot be my neighbors. Alright, because they are Gentile dogs. Samaritans, they cannot be my neighbors because they are my enemies. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was pointing out to him this truth. You are very, very proud. You are very, very self-righteous. So what's the right question to ask? It is not, who is my neighbor? The right question is, how can I be a good neighbor to others? How can I show mercy to other people? How can I show compassion to other people? How can I show love to other people? How can I be of help to other people? My dear friends, answer this question. What do you think is the greatest act of mercy that you can show to anyone? What do you think? I say the greatest act of mercy that you can show to an unbeliever is to actually give him the gospel. If he comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his soul will be saved for all eternity. You have done him the greatest favor a man can do to another man. Yes, by giving him the gospel, and if he comes to believe, that is what you would have done for him. So, my dear friends, let us be asking the right questions. Questions that show that we have very great concern for things that pertain to eternity. If you are an unbeliever, the rightest question, or the most right question that you can ask is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then after having asked that question, don't leave that question hanging in the air without an answer. Get the answer. And the answer comes right out from the Word of God. It is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent from your sins, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Trust in him, believe in his precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary for you. Then when we are asked, when we ask questions, my dear friends, let us always ask with the pure motive of wanting ourselves to be edified. If it is not for ourselves, ask that question for other people, because other people need to be edified. And sometimes you might be just kind enough to ask that question for the sake of other people. By all means, ask that question, and always ask with the right motive. And let us always be ready to give answers to people when they ask us the reason of the hope in us. And the answers that we give must of course be the right answers, and the answers, if they are to be right, must always come from the Word of God. We must therefore know His Word. How much do we know His Word? How can I know His Word? Read His Word, study His Word.
invest on some Bible commentaries. I urge you to join some Bible study groups in this church. We have many Bible study groups. Join them. Study the Word of God and be educated in the Word of God so that you will always be ready to give an answer to every man who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Now, knowing His Word is not enough. All right? If we know His Word in our mind, that's good. But let us make sure that we make use of His Word and let His Word be translated into our lives. Now then, finally, we see that the lawyer asked the wrong question. Who is my neighbor? As far as he was concerned, he thought that only those whom he thought fit to be his neighbors would be his neighbors in his mind. My dear friends, that was the wrong question to ask. The Lord had to correct him. The Lord wanted him to ask this question. How can I be a good neighbor to others? How can I be a good Samaritan to other people? And the best neighbor that you can be to other people, if they are unbelievers, is to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they come to believe in Him, my dear friends, He will surely regard you as His best neighbor. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of everlasting life. Father, we pray that by your grace, we may always be asking questions that are important, vital, relevant. And Lord, we pray that we may ask them we pray that we may always ask them with the hope of getting good answers from your word of life. And Father, we pray that we may not ask questions for the sake of tripping people or to show other people up as they're being ignorant or inadequate enough to be teaching or be advising or counseling. But rather, O Lord, God, help us that we may always be very, very sincere in our motives when we ask questions. And Father, we pray that when we are looking for answers, we may always go back to your word, for the right answers always come from your word. So, Lord, when we are counseling people or giving the gospel to people, or when we are asked questions pertaining to the reason of the hope that is in us, we pray that by your grace, we may always have the wisdom to go back to your word to get the answers. And Father, we pray that you will help us to ask the right question and not to ask who my neighbor is, but rather how I can be a good neighbor to others. And we thank you that you have appointed us to be your witnesses so that we can indeed be the good neighbors that you want us to be. We pray, O Lord God, that we may serve as good neighbors to others by being very, very ready to share the gospel of truth with them. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.